Today's Shia is Masechta Chulin Daf Kuf Chav Ches. We will begin Beis Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Kuf Chav Zayin Amud Beis, 11 lines from the bottom. We had learned in the Mishnah spoke about Eivor Ubasa Hamad Dolim BeBehema. If there's a limb of an animal or a part of the animal that are hanging from the animal, and the Mishnah discussed when the animal was slaughtered, when there was shechita on the animal, will that create hechsher for the animal for that as well? And the Mishnah said their main opinion is that they do become mukhsher with that act of shechita, and Rav Shimon says they do not. And asked the Gemara by Mike Kamifki, what is the basis of this machloikus? Says the Gemara, I'm a rabbi. Rabbi suggests that the machloikus is about Bahema Nasis Yad Le'eva Kamifki. The machloikus is that can we suggest that this animal can be considered a yad? We've discussed many times in our perek the concept of a yad, and that the yad can import and export tumah. The Gemara's question now is, when we think about a behema, a whole animal, can it be considered a yad for the aver? And therefore, the halacha will be marsover. Shimon's opinion is ain behema nas yad la aver. The behema is not a yad. The behema is the primary object here. It's the animal. And therefore, you can't, the definition Rav Shimon is suggesting of a yad, as we've explained many times in our shurim, a yad is a handle. The animal cannot be considered a handle, which is the primary subject that we're discussing here, towards the Eivor Hamad Dolim. And therefore, even though the animal was mukhshar through the act of shechita, which we will discuss more later in our shir, that hechsher cannot serve as an act of hechsher for the yad. A masover, and whereas Rameh's opinion is behema nasi yad laever, a behema can serve as a yad for the aver, and therefore when the animal became mukhshar lekabel tuma, whether it's because of the dam that comes out, whether it's because of the actual ma'isa shechita, as we discussed, then the halacha is that that will be able to serve as a yad for the, that will make the aver also mukhshar lekabel tuma. Abai Omer, but Abai has a different interpretation. Abai says that the machloikus here is ba'iches bekadal ve'ein gol imay kamifki. He says that in order to be considered connected, that we have to have a situation, suggests Abaya, that if you'll touch the, that if you will touch the small, this aver hamudodol, will the animal come up with it or not? And that, he says, is exactly the discussion of this Gemara. The discussion of this Gemara is where it's such a weak connection that when you pick up the animal, when you will pick up the animal, you'll pick up the aver, the other part of the animal will not the animal will not come along. That is the question. Does that create a yad or not? And that is the basis of this discussion. Ba'ich is begotten, when you hold the little part, the aver that's madodl, the ein gadol im oily im kavufki, and the rest does not come along with it. How does the halacha view such a situation? And the Gemara says, Masav Ramei's opinion is that if you're holding the smaller part and the other part doesn't come up together with it, when the smaller part doesn't cause that, you can't pick up the small part and the big part coming along, so then it's considered hareyu kamayu, that it's still considered connected. That's going to be Ramea's opinion. And since that's Ramea's opinion, we can now understand the Mishnah quite well. We can understand the Gemara quite well, because we'll understand his opinion is that since they're still considered connected, so that's why the heksher of the animal will be effective for the other part will be effective for the Aver as well, even though we have such a weak connection. Umasavar, and Reb Shimon's opinion is, since they have such a weak connection, the loch is that Ein Kamayu, they're not, then under these circumstances, they're not considered connected. V'af Reb Yochanan Savar, continues the Gemara to suggest, that so is the opinion of Reb Yochanan, the Baruch's Bekotim Ein Gadol Imay Kamifgi, that the basis of the Machloikas is, if the connection is so weak, how will the halacha look at this? Says the Gemara, Reb Yochanan Rami Drameya Ad Rameya. Because Reb Yochanan says, I found a contradiction in the opinions of Rameya. And the question is, me, I'm Rameya. Is it the opinion of Rameya? Oich Bekotten, Vein Gol Ioli Imoi, that if you hold on to this Eva Amadudl, and the rest of the animal doesn't come along, Hareyu Kamayu, it's considered still connected. Vermini asked the Gemara, where we speak about Truma. Oichel Sheporas Umura Bemixis. If you have a food that's made out of Truma, that's somewhat cut, and still somewhat connection. So they're somewhat tenuously connected to each other. Rameya says if they're connected, that if you pick up the small piece, the big piece will come along, then they're still considered connected. From Lav, but if their connection is weak, then the halacha is they're not considered one. The Mishnah over there speaks about a tful yoim. We know that somebody who's tamei has to go to the mikveh under most circumstances. And after he goes to the mikveh, he's a tful yoim, that he has to have terev shemesh. The tful yoim in halacha is considered a sheni l'tumah. And therefore the halacha is, what he touches, if he's a sheni, it becomes a shlishi. But by truma, as we've learned many times, the final destination of tuma is a shlishi l'tuma. It can make a revi. And therefore, if these two pieces that we're talking about are not considered connected to each other, the fact you touched, the tful yoim touched one, and by touching one, he made it into a shlishi. When he'll touch the next one, it can't make it into revi, because as we just said, there is no revi by tuma. However, if then they're considered one, so it's considered that both of these pieces that are touching each other are now both a shlishi b'truma. That so says the Gemara, v'am Rabbi Yochanan, and vim lav and kamayu. So now we have a very big question. We just explained our Mishnah that the basis of Rameya's opinion is that even though it has such a tenuous connection, that still remains, says that's enough to be considered connected. How do we understand that in view of this Mishnah? And because of that, Vamer B'yachim Echlefes HaShita. In that Mishnah, we have to change the opinion of Rameya. And Rameya, again, Rameya now says that in that Mishnah, it's going to be Rameya's opinion that if even though there's such a weak connection, if you touch one, it'll make the other one, Tomei, they're considered connected. And therefore, Rameya's opinion is consistent both in our Mishnah and that Mishnah, says the Gemara. Umay Kosha. The Gemara is suggesting that Rabbi Yochanan is suggesting we're going to have to change Rabbi Yochanan, Rameya's opinion, which is, of course, something that is rarely and reluctantly done. So says the Gemara, Dilma Shani Le Rameya, maybe Rameya will distinguish between Tful Yoim L'Shat Tumas. By Tful Yoim, Rameya will hold that they're not considered connected. By our Mishnah, he'll consider them connected. Answers the Gemara, Tanya Rebbe Omer, says the Gemara, there's a Bryce that can it says, specifically not that way, because the Braisa says, Tanya Rebbe Omer, Rebbe in explaining the opinion of Rameya, says, Echad Tful Yoim ve'echad Shaar Tumas, that according to Rebbe, there's no way, the halacha doesn't differentiate between Tful Yoim and other Tumas, as you considered saying that now. Ask the Gemara, but why is that a compelling point? According to Rebbe, there is no difference. But Rameya, there is a difference. And by Tful Yoim, he'll say it's not considered connection. And by our Mishnah, he'll say it is considered connected. Amrav Yoshia, Hachi Amrav Yochanan, Ledivrei Rebbe. Indeed, we have to amend. when we learned that Rabbi Yochanan says we have to change what Rameyah says in that Mishnah B'Tfil Yoyim to keep him consistent with our Mishnah, the way we have to explain it, that according to Rebbe, who doesn't differentiate between different Tumas, we're going to have to say and reverse Mechlef Sashita, Rameyah's opinion in that Mishnah. So Agamar just had a discussion about when are things considered connected and when are things not considered connected. And this issue is most relevant to our halacha that the Gemara, based on a Gemara Masechet Brachos, Daf Lamed Tes Amud Beis, that says that one is eating a loaf of bread, he should be mevarech v'achach b'tzeya. He should say the bracha and then before cutting it, and then cut it. Because when you say the bracha, we want that the loaf of bread that you're saying the bracha on should be significant. How is that accomplished? By having a whole loaf. But Taisus now, there, in the Riyamask of Hilchasa, suggests that we now have a little issue. Because also there's another halacha that we're not allowed to be mafsik between the cutting and the bracha. So here, we haven't cut the loaf at all. Cutting the loaf afterwards is going to be a significant job. And therefore, why would that not be a hefsek? And therefore, Taisus suggests that what the Gemara there means to say is that first begin slicing your bread and then have it still somewhat connected. And then when you finish the bracha, finish the slicing. To which the Rosh says that don't make a very significant cut. Because he's saying, based on the Gemara that we're learning now, that if you have a very significant cut, then it's not considered connected. Then Taisus brings up an issue of Shabbos. Because on Shabbos, Taisus says, the halach is that we have to have Lechem Mishnah. The halach of Lechem Mishnah tells us that we have to have two whole loaves. So even though a loaf that has a small incision is considered still connected, particularly as we're learning our Gemara, Taisus is concerned that one might mistakenly slice the loaf much more, making it into two, and now I don't have Lechem Mishnah. And the Ramah, indeed, paskins like Taisus, then Shabbos, one should not make an incision in the challah before the bracha, because you want to make sure the challah remains whole. The Magen Avraham quotes the Mashal, then says that on Shabbos, we should make at least a Rishima. One should make a mark with his knife prior to making the bracha to show that this is where I'm going to cut. And therefore, what I'm accomplishing, I'm not accomplishing everything we wanted to accomplish, but what we are accomplishing, at least somewhat, is that we won't have a very significant hefsek between the beginning of the cutting of the challah and the bracha, but we should at least have some act of betziah to make it cut quicker. According to this Magen Avraham, which is the minig that many people have, the Paiskim suggest the one makes the mark on the challah that is going to cut. The right thing to do is cut where you made the mark. If you're not going to cut where you made the mark, then you're defeating the purpose of this entire exercise. I saw, because of this, the Kav HaChaim suggests that on Shabbos, one should use small loaves. Because since we're learning now that on Shabbos, we shouldn't make a cut into the challah because of Lechem Mishnah. But on the other hand, we don't want to have a hefsek between the bracha and the cutting and eating the challah. So if we'll use smaller loaves, it'll be much less to cut, and it'll go quicker, and we won't have such a significant hefsek. I also saw that one of the other reasons that on Shabbos particularly, we should cut from a whole loaf, is besides the halakha of Lechem Mishnah, but this is a halakha, we know that whenever we speak about truma or meiser, a very big part of the truma meiser is not just what we give the kohen or the levi or whomever, it's the meiser hafrosha. And the way to commemorate that meiser hafrosha is by cutting, separating, even though we're actually going to eat the entire challah, but that act of separation is an act that shows similar to the way we're mafresh the Truma and Maisa. The Gemara continues with different approaches how to explain the machlokes that we began our shiur today of Rav Meir and Rav Shimon. We've learned that when we speak about Tumas Oichlim, and we learned Halacha of Yodis Loichlim, based on the Pasuk, as we learned on Daf Kuf Yud Ches, Tomehu Lechem, that something which is a Yad is a way to import and export Truma. But when we learned that Sugya on Daf Kuf Yud Ches Amid Beis, we learned what would be the Halacha if the Yodis became Mukhsh L'Kabot Tuma. We know a food has to be wet, has to become wet in order to be Mukhsh, to be susceptible to Kabot Tuma. The question is, what's going to be the halacha if the yad became mukshur? Is that going to be enough for the food to become mukshur? And Rava Amar says, Rava, that's the question. Certainly, the yad, as we learned, can import and export tuma. The question is, what will be the halacha by the yad for heksha tuma? Ma, so Rav Shimon's opinion is, yad shad l'tuma. Yad imports and export tumah, but it doesn't import it. It doesn't have the ability to import hechsher. Or Masav, Ramei's opinion is just like it has the ability to be import tumah, it has the ability to import hechsher. And therefore, if the basar became tumah, that will become mukshur. It will reflect. It will reflect on the aver as well. Rapapa says no. That everybody will agree, perhaps the yeshad lahechsher. Here is a different situation. Here the question is, behechsher kodem achshav kemifki. Something was not intended to be eaten. If they now got wet, and after it got dried, you decided you're going to eat it. Is the act of hechsher that happened originally going to be considered a valid act of hechsher? The Tanan and the Gemara quotes a brisa, Amr Yehuda, kacha Rabbi Kiva shoyna. This is what Rabbi Kiva teach us. Shchelev shchuta b'kfarim. If you have the chelev of an animal in kfarim, and the Rashi explains that in the villages nobody ate chelev. Two explanations why: they didn't have that many people living in the villages, and therefore when they shechted an animal, it was more than enough meat, and they didn't have to eat the chalev. And therefore, chalev was not normally something eaten, but we're talking about either shuman, which is kosher, or chalev, and we're talking about non-Jews. Rashi says another pshat, which is really quite the opposite. Rashi says chalev was actually considered a delicacy. And because Rashi explains chalev was considered a delicacy, in the villages where people were not that sophisticated, they did not eat chalev. But in the cities where people were more sophisticated, they did eat chalev. So, but no matter whatever pshat we're going to learn, chalev is not something that's typically eaten in the villages. So now it got wet before I intended to eat it. Tzara machshava, in order to become a food, I have to intend to want to make it into a food. And the question is, does it need now another act of hechsher after I made that decision? Ein tzarech hechsher, shekvar hochsh b'chshita. V'mat el'fonof, and I said to Rabbi Kiva, l'maratana rabbanim, that olshin, which is a bitter vegetable, shelikdom, that you pick them up from the ground, v'dicham, and you wash them, behema, that it should only be eaten by animals and therefore doesn't have a dinner of food. And then, nimel chaleim l'odom, if you decide now to eat it, tzrichas hechsher sheni. The hechsher that took place when you took it, when it wasn't intended to be used for human consumption, is not considered a valid hechsher. And says the Gemara, chazer Rabbi Kiva liya shayna ki Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Kiva turned around and accepted Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. So now the Gemara explains the machlokes of Ramei and Rav Shimon. Masav lo kremikara, Ramei holds like Rabbi Kiva held at the beginning that hechsher that's done even before you tended to use it as a food is a valid hechsher. And therefore the hechsher that happens on the Eva Madodol, even though at that time that the Mishnah is discussing you did not intend to use it as a food, is still going to be an adequate hechsher. And on the other hand, Rabbi the mass of Reb Shimon's opinion is Sovel Kechazara, that if a hechsher was done when it wasn't meant to be used as a food, then it's not going to be considered a valid hechsher. But this Gemara shows us a tremendous lesson. Here we find that Reb Akiva turned around and agreed with the opinion of Reb Yehuda. And that the Rashbatz teaches us that that is the mark of a Talmud Chacham. The mark of a Talmud Chacham is that he always agrees to the truth, even though it's being said by somebody who is a Talmud. And really the place that we find it is by Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron had a question about the carbon that they burned, the carbon chattis, and the pasuk says Vayishma Moshe Vayitav Me'enov, that Moshe Rabbeinu had no problem agreeing to what Aaron said, and not only that, Vayitav Me'enov, he was satisfied in doing so. And so says the Rabbeinu Yoina, HaChacham Moedel Emes, the Chacham always admits to the truth, V'gam Kishach Yachkem V'yedel Hoshav Aroiv Tainosov, even when he has a way of defending his opinion. The halacha is that if it's the truth, the halacha is he lal yoyde ledvarov, says the Rebbeinu Yoina, he should admit to the truth, v'lo yoshev b'minatzochen, and he should not be concerned that somebody else is besting him. And then the Rebbeinu Yoina says, v'kavod hu elov ki hu mida tova mekubelos, this is something that's most appropriate, and says that a chacham is always admits the truth. And then he says, somebody who's a goylem, somebody who presumably is a foolish person, does not have the ability to admit to the truth. Continues the Gemara in trying to give another explanation in the machloikis of Rev Meir and Rev Shimon in our Mishnah. We also learned, dam chalolim yish, the pasuk says, that when we kill an animal, that blood is able to be machshir the food to kabotoma. Blood that comes out of an animal while it's alive is not considered a liquid that has the ability to be machshir food like kabolas toma. And that's how the Gemara will explain our Mishnah with other concepts that we learned at the beginning of the Masechta. Says the Gemara, Vachrei Dervika Amar, the machlokes is that if somebody shechted one siman of the animal and there was blood from that shechita that splattered on this eva hamadoldo, and then it was wiped off before you shechted the second siman. And the Gemara explains, Marsov, Ramey's opinion is, what is considered the act of shechita? What's considered the act of shechita is from the beginning. So therefore, even though you only shechted one siman, it doesn't make a difference. That's considered already an act of shechita. V'hai dam shechitahu, and that's considered an act of shechita, and therefore, it could be machshir the aver for Kabbalah's tumah. Umasava, Rav Shimon's opinion is that ainal shechita al l'psayf, the shechita is only completed at the end, and therefore, the dam that came off at this point is not considered that from the first siman is not considered dam shechita, and therefore if it's not considered dam shechita by dam makahu, which we just finished explaining, that dam makah does not have the ability to be machsha food lekabolas tumah. The mefarshim in explaining this gemara say that even if you hold that ein l'shechita el l'psoif, if at the end you did a full shechita, the dam that came previously, that came after the first siman, will have the ability to be machshir. What happened here was that they wiped off that dam, and either we'll learn they never ended up doing the second siman, or because that dam wasn't there when the second siman was cut, that dam cannot be machshir. Another way of explaining the machlokes or Meir of Shimon suggests the Gemara. Rav Asham b'shechita machsheres loy dam kamufki. The machlokes is what, as we mentioned at the beginning of the shiur, what is the act of hechsher? Is it the shechita? And as we explain, why would we say that? Because why does the Torah say that the food has to become wet in order to become mukhshir kabbal tumah? Because that shows an act of chshivas, an act of making the food into a food, and shechita does the same? Or is it the actual blood that is makshir the food of kabbal tumah? Remeya's opinion is the dam shechita is makshir. So even though this aver will not be allowed to be eaten based on the shechita, it doesn't bother me. The dam is what's being makshirit. And Rav Shimon holds that it's the shechita that's makshirit, not the dam. This shechita, as the Mishnah explained, and as we are going to explain later in our Shir Mitzvah Shem, doesn't ever give us the right of making the food, being able to eat the Eva Medudel. So you can't say that the shechita is makshirit when it's a shechita that is not allowed, that isn't going to accomplish anything for this Eva. Ask the Gemara. We learned at the beginning of this year that one of the explanations of the Meach Leikus or Meir of Shimon was regarding how, if one can be a Yad or not. Ask the Gemara, Boy Rabbi Behema Bechayel. According to Rameya's opinion that we said at the beginning of Shir, Rameya's opinion is that the Behema could be considered a Yad for the Aver. What's going to be the Halacha if the animal got wet, if after the Aver became an Aver Madaldal, then it touched Tuma. And the Aver became Tame, even though the animal is not Tame because it's still alive. And the Gemara wants to know that do we say even under those situations that concept of a Yad? And the question here is the way I saw the Mefarshim explain, Rabbi Chanan explains what is the definition of a Yad? Is the definition of a Yad a metzias, that the fact that they're connected makes it into a yad, and if that's the case, they are indeed connected? Or is the concept of yad, suggests Rabbi Chanan, the other opinion, is that it has to have accomplished something as a yad, and here it's not accomplishing anything as a yad, and if it's not accomplishing anything as a yad, it doesn't have the halacha of a yad. Amar Abaya, says the Gemara, a similar question. We know something which is mechubal karka, something which is still connected to the ground, is not mekabel tumah. And the question is, if something that's connected to the ground could serve as a yad for something which is not connected to the ground. Omer Abaye, to which Abaye comments, Harei Amru, Chazal teaches in the Mishnah Masechta Uksin, Kisha Shenotna Ba'oksus. If you planted cucumber in a flower pot that does not have a hole, so if it doesn't have a hole, it's not considered connected to the ground. V'gdila v'yotzes chutzlotzitz. And now it went outside of that flower pot, over the ground. Taira, it's all taira. Even though those leaves, branches that are going over the ground are nourishing off the ground, and therefore, the halacha is that they're still all considered connected, even though those things that are over the ground are not, might be considered connected to the ground. This fact that this is the way Rashi learns that we have some sticking out over the ground is enough to make even what's in the flower pot considered mechubal karka. Ask the Gemara, Amar Rav Shimon. To Rav Shimon disagrees with Chima Tivel Atar. Why should the fact that this part that's hanging out make the part that's in the flower pot considered connected to the ground? Ella Tomei B'Tumasoi. What's in the flower pot is not considered connected to the ground and therefore is able to Makabal Tomo. V'Atabe Tarosoi. And what's considered connected to the ground is considered connected to the ground. So now ask the Baya, according to what Rav Shimon just said, Mashatasa Yalachavertoi. The part that's outside, that which is not able to mekabel tumah because it's considered connected to the ground, what would be the halacha? He wants to know if that got wet, can it make? Is it considered a yad to make what's in the flower pot, which is ostensibly something that could be tumah? What would be the halacha under those circumstances? Could they become mukshel lekabel tumah that way or not? And the Gemara here again remains with a teiku. I saw that the Sefer Cheshukei Chemed uses this discussion to quote something from Rav Dov Landau Shlita, who asked this question apparently to the Chazon Ish. If we're saying that something that's hanging over the ground is considered like it's growing from the ground, what would be the halacha if somebody walks under those branches? So what you're doing is, by walking under those branches, you're stopping the nourishment, and then when you're going to walk past those branches, you're going to create that the nourishment happens again. So should that not be considered an act of Zriya on Shabbos? So he says it's only considered Zriya Midrabanan, and therefore he says, since it's only considered Zriya Midrabanan, it's only concerned where it obviously looks like an act of Zriya. But here it doesn't look like an act of Zriya, and therefore we can be more lenient. The Gemara brings another similar question regarding Avodah Zarah. Of course, we know that halacha is that Avodah Zarah is also behanal. And moreover, any food which may not be eaten doesn't have tumas oichlim. So therefore, any food which is designated as Avodah Zarah doesn't have tumas oichlim. And now the Gemara begins. Amram Yemiya, Harei Amram, Mishtach v'lechatzi delas. If somebody bows down to half a pumpkin, Osro, that half becomes also to be eaten because of Avodah Zarah. And now ask the Gemara based on that, by Rabbi Yemiya, Masha Tasiyad L'Chaverta. The other half, which wasn't worshipped, is not Avodah Zarah. Since it's not Avodah Zarah, it is Mutar Be'achila. If it's Mutar Be'achila, the question now is, what will be the halacha if this part that's also Be'achila to be considered a yad, can be considered a yad for the other part? And the Gemara remains that it's a teiku. Says the Gemara, Amra Papa, another question. Harei Amru, Chazal teaches the Yicha Shoteina Shenivshach. If a branch of a fig that got detached, Umura Biklipasai, but it's still somewhat attached to the tree, and there are fruits on this tree. And the question is, anything that's connected is not subject to Tumas Oichlam. The question is, are the fruits on this tree considered Mechubal Karak or not? Rav Yehuda says that they're considered connected, and therefore they're not going to be subject to Tumas Oichlam. If that connection to the tree is strong enough that it gives it nourishment, tahor, v'mlav, tamei. By Rav Papa, to which Rav Papa asked the Chachamim, if we have a branch that could still survive and nourish from the tree, and this is the way Rashi learns the Gemara, that the tree, this branch that is strong enough connection to the tree, has another branch emanating from it, which is not strong enough. And the question is, can that attached branch be a yad for the detached branch? And therefore, the Gemara remains with a teiku. Another explanation is that we don't have to have two branches, we just have a tree and a branch. But if the branch that's connected to the tree is a weak connection, it doesn't get any nourishment. And the question is, if the tree gets wet, could that have any bearing on the branch that's weakly connected to it? The Gemara brings another case. Torah Kedoshah speaks about a home that has a nega. And the halacha is that if somebody says a nega tzaras in his home, the kohen has to quarantine the house for 7 days. If he comes back and he sees that the nega spread, he has to take out the stones and take off any cement that's on top of those stones and throw them outside of the city, replace those stones that he just took out with new stones, and then after doing so, he waits another 7 days. If after coming back, after those 7 days, he sees that the nega came back, the entire house has to be demolished. The Gemara here discusses the case of an Evan Hamunugas. There's a stone that the halacha is that a stone is matamba, these stones are matamba oil. What happens if only half is tamei? What will be the halacha to the other half? What will be the halacha regarding the other half of that stone? Amrav Zaira, Harei Amru, Evan Shebezovis. The Evan Shebezovis, as I understand from the Rishonim, means that you have a long wall, and then you have another wall, which is a wall that is a wall between two people's home. And that home, one side is Tamei, who is an Evan Menugas. And now the question is, what about that stone that's not only affecting my home, it's affecting somebody else's home? The Lok Shuchailis, when you remove the stone that we just mentioned, Chailis is cool. You take out all of it, even the part, even though it's affecting my neighbor who doesn't have a negev. Kshunaitetz, Naitetz Shleber. When the Halacha said that we have to destroy it, we only destroy my part, not his part. Omneich Chitz Shlchaver, I can leave the other half of his alone. So now, and the basis for this Halacha are many different reasons. The Rishonim Rashi explains, the reason when we take out the stone, we have to take out both sides, because the Torah says, V'choltzu es avonim sheben nogu. So, choltzu es avonim means to take out the entire stone. The Ben Abachai says, the fact that the Torah says, V'choltzu, is Loshen Rabim. And since it's Loshen Rabim, it means both my side and my neighbor's side. But when it comes to breaking the house, there the pasuk says Rashi, v'notatz tzabayis, loshen yochid, only mine and not from the others. Others explain, because we continue learning the pasuk says, as vonov, as eitzov, only mine and not his. And now the question is, what will be the halacha, mash tasi al chaverta, if the part that it's not in the gas, can be considered also a tumas oil because it's connected to that, and the Gemara here too remains with a teiku. We learned in the Mishnah, Mesa Behema, if we have an animal that had an Eiver Amadodol, and now that animal died, according to Rameya, that Eiver is tumim because of Eiver Menachai, and not because of Nevela. Ask the Gemara, why indicating that it's Eiver Menachai and not Eiver Menavela, there's an indication that Eiver Menachai is a more serious issue. And ask the Gemara, my ikabet Eiver Menachai or Eiver Menavela? And says the Gemara, ikabet na yibosa parish remenu. If you have a piece of meat that's gazayis, come off that Eiver Menachai. If it's, there's a difference if it comes off from Eiver Menachai for Nevela. Dila bosa parish me Eiver Menachai, loy mitama, it won't have tumas Eiver Menachai. But if it comes off Eiver Menavela, it will mitama. Ask the Gemara, Eiver Menachai mitama. This entire halacha that Eiver Menachai gives off Tumah Mikra, what do we see from the Pasuk? Answers the Gemara, Amar Rav Yehuda Marav. The Pasuk, when it speaks about Tumas Nevela, says, V'chiyomus mena behema ashi lachem la'ochlo, and the geba blasa yitmen erif. And from the word mena behema, we learned that even if you just took off an Eiver from the animal, yitman erif, the person who Eiver Menachai will be Tumah all the time. Ask the Gemara, from Ibaile, don't we need this pasuk l'chidir of Yudam Rav for another halacha? Domer Yudam Rav, v'amar Rabbi Masnisa Tana. The pasuk when it speaks about Thomas Nevela says v'chiyamus mina behema hanegei ben avlasa yit mina arif. The words mina behema to teach us the mixed behema matama. Some animals are matama when they die, or mixed behemoths ain't matama. And this is the halacha that we've learned so many times. There is a do trefa sheshachta, that if somebody does a shechita on a trefa, even though of course we will not be allowed to eat that that meat, it won't be matama. So how can we learn the halacha of Tumas Eiver Menachai from this pasuk if it's here to teach us that a trefa sheshachta doesn't give off tumah? Answers the Gemara in Cain, if that was all the pasuk wanted to teach us, look the Rechmana. The fact that the Torah adds an extra word, mina behema, shema mina tarti, we learned two halacha. We learned that the halacha of a trefa that was slaughtered doesn't give off tumah, and that Eiver Menachai does give off tumah. Ask the Gemara, if that's the case, if that's the case that Eiver Menachai is metama, so maybe the halacha ought to be afilu basanami, if a piece of meat comes off from a live animal, it should also give off tuma. Answers Gemara Lo Yisalka Datach. That is incorrect. The Tanya the Braisa teaches us, Yochli Ye Basar Parish Min Chai Tamei. We would think that basar that comes off from an animal should be tamei, give off tuma as well. Tamalam V'chi Yamas Min Behema. Ma Misa She'en Oysa Chalifim. When we speak about Misa, one of the characteristics of death is it can't be reversed. Af Kol She'en Oysa Chalifim. When the Pasuk speaks about something there, we're talking about Evim Min Chai, that if somebody takes off an aver from an animal, that cannot be reversed. Whereas basur, meat, can regenerate. Divrei Rabbi Yosi Aglili. Rabbi Kiva Omer, he says, the way we know that basur that was taken off from a live animal is not metama, because the pasuk says, mina behema, and the Torah compares it to behema. And when we think about behema, ma behema gidim v'atzomis, we think about the animal having meat, and gidim and atzomis. Af kol, when we speak about this giving tuma, is something that has gidim v'atzomis. Whereas basur is just meat, it doesn't have gidim v'atzomis. Rabbi Omer, behema, ma behema basur gidim v'atzomis. Af kol, basur gidim v'atzomis. That's only what's included. Ask the Gemara, but didn't Rabbi Rabbi Kiva just say the same thing? So ask the Gemara, my ikabein, Rabbi Rabbi Kiva. And says the Gemara, ikabeinayu arkuva. When we speak about the bottom half of the animal, it is a full-fledged aver, but it doesn't have gidim v'atzomis. According to Rekiva, once it has gidim v'atzomis, it's considered aver menachai. According to Rebbe, since it doesn't have basur, so therefore it will not be considered aver menachai. Ask the Gemara, Bein Rebbe Kiva, Rebbe Yosi Aglili, Ma'ik v'nayu. They only had a machlokes where we learned the halacha from. But is there a practical halachic nafkamina? Answer the Gemara, Amar Papa, the nafkamina will be about the kidneys and the lips of an animal. According to Rabbi Akiva, according to Rabbi Yosef Lili, they're going to be considered Eva Menachai, because they don't regenerate. It's not reversible if they're removed. And according to Rabbi Akiva, since they don't have gidim v'atzomis, they're going to be considered, they can't be considered evim menachai. Says the Gemara, Tanya nami gabi shrotzim kai gavna. Says the Gemara, we have another braisa by shrotzim, which is very similar. Yochel, basa parishman approach shrotzim yeitame. A part of the flesh of the shrotzim come off, they should give off tomo. Tamaloymer, the pasuk says regarding shrotzim, v'chol ashipa alav b'mehem b'moysim yitmam. Ma misa shen ha'su chalipin. Misa is not reversible. Af kol sheni oysa chalipin, but the meat of the sheretz can regenerate, and therefore it could give off tuma divrei Rabbi Yosi Aglili. Kiva, I'm Rabbi Kiva disagrees. Ma, the pasuk says, Elo temeim lam b'chol ha-sheretz, ma sheretz gidim v'atzomis, af kol gidim v'atzomis. And it has to have gidim v'atzomis. Rabbi Omer, and Rabbi says, the way we know that basar of a sheretz does not give off tuma, because the pasuk says, b'chol ha-sheretz, ma sheretz has basar gidim v'atzomis, so to a part of the sheretz that comes off to give off tuma has to be called basar gidim v'atzomis. Says the Gemara again, Bein regular Bekiva, what will be the practical nafkamina? Ikabenai dar kuva. That doesn't have basar but has gidim v'atzomis. Bein Bekiva, Rabbi Yosi Aglili, Ma'ikabenai, what will be there? Where would there be a practical nafkamina? Says the Gemara, Kol yivagiv sosayim ikabenayu. According to Rabbi Yosi Aglili, they don't regenerate, and therefore they are going to give off tuma. Bekiva says there's no gidim v'atzomis and there won't be tuma. So ask the Gemara, we have the identical halacha by meat of an animal and meat of a sheretz. So the Gemara's question is, why do we need two psukim? Says Rav Tzricha, we need to have both. The Yashvin Behema, if we had the halacha only stated by Behema, Hainatama, we would say the Lomatama Mechayim. The reason that basar that comes off from an animal is not Matama, the Lomatama Begadasha, the shear is always a kazayis. Aval sheretz that we have a chumra, the matam b'kadasha, even the small amount of a bean, because of tuma, emel tam b'chayim, maybe basar that comes off from it while it's alive should be tamei. V'yashmin in sheretz, mishum d'loy matam b'masa. Maybe by sheretz, the basar that comes off alive sheretz is not matama, because there is no tumas masa by a sheretz. Therefore, lo metama b'chaim, the basar that comes off will not be metama. Av behema, the metama b'masa, a nevela that has tumas masa, ema, maybe a piece of meat that comes off should already be metama b'chaim. That's why tzricha, we need a separate pasuk for sherets and a separate pasuk for behema.